All right, we'll go ahead and get started. I assume I'll just go with the clock. Don't see Dr. E giving me the signal, but anyhow. Thank you for coming, and thank you for sitting through my presentation, which is not a pleasant subject. It's a hard subject to even talk about. Overcoming porn. When Dr. E gave me the subject overcoming, he said, can you fit that into the porn addiction? I said, yeah, absolutely. So with that, let me open us with a prayer and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, pray for your blessings upon all the people that came here for this weekend to hear those of us talk about subjects that are dear to your heart. Dr. Arick talked about grief, and we've just heard wonderful, wonderful talks already. Now, I pray, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, you will work through me in this next hour. And I have some material that I've put together, but if the Holy Spirit sees that what I'm presenting is not what he wants to present, then I pray that you will change me as I talk, because I'm looking for you to give me the words to say, because you know what this audience needs to hear about this subject. So I am open, Father, to change in a heartbeat from what I have to present to what you want to present. So I leave the floor open to you, Father. It's your floor. We love you, Father. We love our Lord, our Savior, our prophet, our priest, our king. We love our Savior. And we love your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is in each of us and guides us through the day and through the months and years. Be with us. Open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Subject is porn addiction. So, first of all, I guess a lot of you don't know me from Adam. Like, who is this guy? He doesn't have doctor in front of his name. He doesn't have a PhD. I don't see anything about him even having a master's degree. Who is this guy? What gives him authority to talk to me about this subject? Well, my name's Joe Medlock. I'm a member here at Briarwood. And also, I serve as a biblical counselor here at Briarwood. I have been doing that since 2010. I think it's interesting how I got to this position, because it was not my thing to be a counselor. Woe to me. No. I'm an engineer. My whole life was spent in engineering and technical stuff. But in 2005, I had a calling from God that he wanted me in Birmingham, Alabama. And at that time, I was living in Atlanta, Georgia. I had my own company, and I was king of the world, traveling all over the world in my particular company that I had. I was a consultant, so I traveled all over the world, enjoyed it, loved it, having a great time. But he said he wanted me in Birmingham. I said, no, Lord, not that place. No, I had been to Birmingham. I lived in the capital of the South, Atlanta. Everything was in Atlanta. But he won after several months of me arguing with him and making, you know, are you sure, Lord? Birmingham, B-I-R-A. Are you sure? And the message came clear. I told my wife. She said, no, not moving to Birmingham. I said, oh, great. I'll tell the Lord. But I didn't tell her it was the Lord. So the next time I went back to her again and said, we need to move to Birmingham. She said, why are you so hell-bent on moving to Birmingham? And I said, because of God. She said, how do you know? I said, I just know. Did he talk to you? I said, no. Did you hear him? I said, no. Well, how'd you know? I just knew. Has anybody been there? Yeah. You just know. But, so we wound up coming to Birmingham. Didn't know why. Wound up coming to Briarwood Church. Part of Briarwood Church is they give you a test. And I thought, this is strange. I've been in churches before, but never one where I had to take a test. And then later I found out the test was a personality test to find out what your gifts and talents are so the church could use you. So after I took the test, I wasn't happy about taking the test, but then when I found out why, I was okay. I thought, that's a pretty good idea. So when I sat down with the lady, Lynn McWaters, to find out my reading of my test, she looked at me and she said, how would you like to go to a class at the seminary? Counseling class. And I said, are you crazy? Counseling? No. That'd be the last thing I would ever choose to do. Do you have anything in the engineering department? Nope. Do you have anything in IT? I've worked with IT. Nope. What about radio station? I know Briarwood has a radio station. I've worked with radio. What about that? Nope. I said, well, what do you got? She said, well, I want you to go to this class in the seminary. It's called Counseling 101, Counseling in the Local Church 101. And it's being taught by Dr. Howard Eyrick. He's been teaching it for years, and I think you'll love it. The church will pay for you to go. I said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to a counseling class. Give me another option. She said, no, this is the one I want you to go to. So I went to the class begrudgingly. And halfway through the class, God was like, Open your ears, young man. So about halfway through the class, I went up and said, Dr. Eric, I think I've been called to come here to be a counselor. What do I need to do? He said, well, let's meet for lunch tomorrow. So we did. So the end of the story is I became a counselor. Went to the seminary, got my degree. He told me I needed to get the degree. Come back to see him, he put me to work. So I got my degree. I walked in his office with my certificate. I said, oh, Dr. E, I'm ready to go to work. And his jaw dropped. He looked at me with this despairing look. And he said, we've changed the rules since you talked to me 4 years ago. You now have to have a ACBC certification. Back then, it was called NAC. So he said, you got to have an NAC certification. I said, what's that? He said, well, you got to be certified. Now, Briarwood will not put anybody into counseling until they've been through the certification. And I said, oh, man, Dr. E, do you know how old I am? He said, yeah, you're only 6 months older than me or younger than me. I said, well, I may not live that long. How long does it take to go through this course? He said, well, most people take a year or 2 years. I said, okay, I guess if that's the only way I can get to be a counselor, I guess I'll have to do it. So I went home, told my wife, I said, I'm going to be locked in my office 8 hours a day. I'm going to blitz this course. So I did. In 3 months, I passed and had my certificate and went back to Dr. E and said, okay, now here's my certificate. Here's my certificate here. I got two certificates. Can I counsel now? And he said, absolutely. I got you a case right now. Here, start this one. So, after about a year of counseling, I began to realize that every guy that I talked to, every guy, 100%, they come to me for marital problems or anxiety or depression or anger, whatever it is. But when I start digging and digging and digging and digging, I find out there's sex involved, pornography or affairs or something worse. So 100% of the guys that I started counseling for various problems, underneath I'm finding sex is involved. So about a year later, I went to Dr. E and I said, I would like to specialize in sexual addiction. Give me every case that you get. And I'm going to start focusing on that. I'm going to start learning everything I can. So I spent 2 or 3 years researching and reading every book on the market and trying to find the tool that I wanted to use besides the Bible. The Bible was the tool, but underneath that, what books, what workbooks, what videos, what is there out there to use? So over a period of about 3 or 4 years, I began to really, really, really understand this subject. So here I am 12 years later, and I do consider myself a sexual addiction expert. I have counseled to date 267 men who are addicted to sex. And each one is unique. Each one is unique. So with that introduction is who I am, we'll get on with the program. All right, so what's unique about sexual addiction? What makes it different from drug addiction or alcoholism or tobacco or food or workaholics, food addiction? What's so unique about sexual addiction? Number one is it's a sin that can be hidden for a lifetime. I have the oldest guy that I have counseled was 76. He was on his fourth marriage. Not only that, he was a Sunday school teacher at his church. He'd been on porn, some type of sex addiction, since he was 11, 76. I have a man right now in one of my groups who's a retired attorney. He's been on it since he was 11. He's now 70. His wife doesn't even know. Nobody knows. He's also was a Sunday school teacher at his church. But when he called me and got involved in counseling, I advised him to talk to his pastor, which he did, and his pastor suggested that he give up his Sunday school teaching job. But it's a hidden sin. There's guys out there who have been doing it for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and nobody knows. Also, the other problem is we're dealing, and several of my brothers have mentioned it already, particularly the very first talk that you had yesterday. Is this person a born-again Christian? Because I find that I'm dealing with a person who deep down does not believe that what they're doing is going to send them to hell. They do not. They will argue with me. They sit and argue with me and say, no, I believe in Christ. I'm a believer. John 3:16. I lay my hat on John 3:16. I said, okay. What about where Jesus says, some will come to me and say, I prophesied in your name, I healed people in your name, I preached, I taught, I walked the walk. Lord, I'm one of your people. And he looks at me and says, I never knew you. You go that way. What about that? What about that? Could you, you know. Those guys are saying, yeah, I believed in John 3:16. Christ said, I never knew you. So there's more to it than just believing. I call it easy believism. There's a lot of churches across this country that are teaching easy believism every day. We don't teach that here at Briarwood. Timeline, I thought I'd put this together with, because I deal with, the youngest I have dealt with is 12, and all the way up to 76, and everywhere between. So it became an interesting subject to me is, how does this get started, and how does a person get addicted? How do you become an addict? The first encounter of a young person, no matter what the age, is that they see some type of porn material on their iPhone or their computer. And at first, they're inquisitive. Whoa, what is this? Whoa. There's fascination. And there's shock if it's hardcore. And there's some embarrassment because we have that innate ability built into us by God to differentiate. So there's some embarrassment. The second encounter, the next encounter, the question is, now do they go back and look at what they knew got them that material and explore from that? In other words, do they now seek it out? Or the next encounter may be accidental also. But the question is, at some point, do they now start seeking it out, looking for it? So now, at that point, it's beyond fascination. They are controlling it. And then when they get into their teen years, then if they are seeking it out on a regular basis, then that is the time for them to get help. I have counseled quite a few teenagers, and they're the easiest because it's not ingrained in their heart and their soul and their mind. So I love to get to young people because that's the point that you can really help. But if they do not get help, if they continue, then they are starting to get addicted. I have actually seen very, very addicted teenagers. And I mean, really, down in their soul, they're addicted to porn. If they go into adulthood, by the time they're in their 20s and they're still seeking it out on a regular basis, they are now a full-blown sex addict. They cannot stop on their own. They cannot stop without help. Help from God or help from a counselor or both. That is what I have found in my 12 years of focusing on this subject. They cannot stop. No matter how hard they try, they cannot stop unless they seek help or unless they become born again. Because that is the point where they can get help. And like I said earlier, a lot of them think they are, but they're not. That's a dangerous situation. I've put together. Did everybody get one of my handouts? They're up here on the corner of the table. If you want one so you don't have to write down anything, everything I'm talking about is on that, on those handouts right over on the corner of the table. Yeah, this is one that I just redid and got it in this order and gave it to her just to make copies so I could hand them out in here. So I'm now on page two of what you just got. We're on slide number five. I'm not going to spend any time on this, but this is a list of all the resources that I use, reliable resources. There's a ton of resources out there that you can get data, but these are the ones that I focus on that I believe in, and they're reliable, and it's great data. So I'm not going to go through that, but there's your list of all of the ones in case you want to research on your own. So what do these experts, what do these resource centers say about porn use in the USA? Now, I think this is important. I think it's very important because the average person does not understand how bad porn is. We talk about porn, you hear porn talked about, but the average person does not understand how bad it really is. When you get in a job like I've got and you're dealing with it every day and you're talking to different people, and I have groups, I do groups. I have three groups right now that meet weekly. We meet by Zoom, so I've got guys from all over the United States, from California to New York and all the way to the West, about 13 or 14 states I've got guys. So I do group counseling for sexual addiction. So my word to you is, if you're a counselor, it is an epidemic. It's an epidemic in this country. The reason it's an epidemic because they go after the young people. They go after our kids. That's who they're going after. Because they know, the porn industry knows, that if they can get a kid to watch it a few times, they got him hooked. And if they can get him to keep watching it till he's a teenager, he's addicted. And they know that. They know that. So they are going after the young people. They've got ties to almost everything that a young person would search for on the internet. Underneath that somewhere is porn material. The Barna group study, which is one of the reliable sources, Barna does a lot of studies for Christian organizations. They say that 62% of teenagers, 13 to 17, have received a sexual image over their phones. 72% of Christian young adults, age 18 to 24, actively seek out porn on the internet. 72%. Here's one I just found out recently when I was researching for this material here. 3 out of 5 divorces in the United States now cite porn as the reason for the divorce. 3 out of 5. Nearly 40% of practicing Christians who actively seek out porn feel comfortable with how much porn they use. 40% of practicing Christians are okay with what they do. So I won't go on any farther than that, but this is the one that blew me away. This one totally blew me away when I found this one. Teens, the next page, teens and young adults surveyed said it was worse to not recycle. 56% of them said it's worse not to recycle than it is to look at pornography. Of the teens and young adults said they thought it was worse not to recycle than it is to look at porn. Some shocking data, 40 million plus Americans visit porn regularly. There are 42 million porn websites, 42 million websites. With 370 million pages of porn. 47% of the families in the United States reported that porn is a problem in their home. 11 is the average age that a child is first exposed to porn. 94% of our children will see porn before they're 14. 56% of the present U.S. divorces involve porn. 59% of the pastors say that married men and their flock seek help because of porn. This one was shocking to me. 33% of the women aged 25 and under search for porn at least once per month. 55% of married men and 25% of women say they watch porn at least once per month. 57% of pastors say porn is the most damaging issue in their church today. I have actually counseled 9 pastors in my 12 years of counseling. I've counseled numerous elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers. In fact, the statistical data says that 73% of the Christian men in the churches across America watch porn intermittently. 73%. So that means 70% of the guys that you see sitting in your church are watching porn once in a while, but they're never going to admit it. They're never going to tell anybody because it's just, remember, it's a secret sin. Guys do not tell anybody. Alcoholics run around with each other. They associate. Go in a bar and look at them. Drug addicts, they hang around together. Porn addicts, sex addicts, no way. They don't want anybody to know. They don't tell their buddies. Nobody knows. Nobody. Every day, 37 porn videos are created in America. Every day, 37 new porn videos. 2.5 billion emails containing porn are sent or received every day. 68 billion porn search queries every day. This one is the one that'll rock your boat, the last one. 116,000 queries a day are for child pornography. Okay, my personal counseling data, this is my data. So I accumulated this when I started realizing, well, I'm looking at all this data on the internet. What's my data say? I've been doing this 12 years, so I went back, and I keep all my records of everybody I've counseled. So I went back and pulled all my records, and that's how I found out I'd counseled 267 men. over to 12 years who were addicted to sex. And of those 267 cases, 96% involved sexual issues. In other words, I counsel more than just sex addiction. I do marital counseling, anxiety, depression. So I do other types of counseling also. But out of those 267 cases, 96% involved sexual issues. 100% of the 96% involved porn use at some time in their life. And a lot of them had moved beyond porn to affairs on their wives. The number of those 267 men that were married was 180. 100% of the married men admitted to porn use at some time in their life. 100% out of those 180. The number that were single was 87. 100% of those agreed that they had seen porn sometime in their life. So the way to get started is quit talking and begin doing something, which is what Walt Disney said. So what is my method? What I use for my sexual addiction counseling? The first thing is I start with their story. I think every counselor in here probably will admit that that's where you start, right? Phil, you start with your story. What's your story? Why are you here? Tell me your story. So that's where I start. Somewhere in that hour that I'm meeting with that person, I get down to the questions about sex, if they don't mention it. Because remember, most of these people don't think watching porn's an issue. They really don't. They do not think that's an issue. The problem is my wife, not porn. The problem's my dog, or my cat, or my horse, my car, or my truck. Not porn? Nah, porn not going to cause this. So I start with their story. And I usually spend at least 3 weeks on their story. Digging and digging and digging and digging. Because you counselors out there, you know, you don't get it the first time. You might not get it the second. You might not get it the third. Because a lot of you know, you got to dig it out. Really dig it out. Then the next thing is I pop the Jesus question. Somebody mentioned that. One of the previous speakers, it may have been Howard, mentioned that. Are they truly born again? So I start digging into their spiritual journey. I want to know everything in detail about their spiritual journey. So I get them to go back in time. Ironically, what I find out is the same thing that happened to me. If somebody had asked me later life, when were you born again, I'd say about 12. It was at a tent meeting, a revival, and you know things were just rocking and rolling. The music was great, and it was four of us, three guys and me, and we went up front and had hands laid on and people praying over us and crying and yeah, that's when I was born again. But if anybody had asked me, what changed? What happened the next day? Were you different? Is anything different? The next week, the next month, next year? That's a good question. No, I don't guess I really did change. So I dig into, is this person truly born again? And you all know, you guys know, that's a hard question, right? We're not supposed to question anybody's spiritual journey. But I really need to know. If I'm going to help this person, I need to know. But I don't push because it's going to come out. Eventually it's going to come out. Then the next thing, I get them into a group. in my studies of year, I've been studying this stuff for at least 10 years. I read everything I can get my hands on, every book, every article, every journal. So I found out that from all the experts that were out there, they all said, you got to get these people in a group. The same thing with AA, alcoholics. They started this years ago, before sex addiction. Get them in a group. Get them in with people who have the same problem. They have groups for food addicts. They have groups for, I think, every addiction probably. So we have sex addiction groups. Like I told you, I have three groups right now. So I get them into a group. If they will not go into a group, then I tell them, I'm sorry, I can't counsel you. Because that's part of my counseling. You have to be in a group. You have to be with guys that are doing the same thing you're doing. And then, some cases, getting them in a group is all that's really needed. And I don't have to do individual counseling. But in other cases, I do individual counseling on top of them being in a group. I have several guys right now in my three groups. Out of the three groups, I think I'm individually counseling about four out of 17 people, 18 people. I'm only personally counseling four of those. The rest of them, the group is working, the group concept. The timeline, what's your timeline? I don't have one. I think most counselors will tell you, do you know what yours is, Phil? Do you know, like, average, how many weeks or months you...
No, some of them go on for years.
Yeah. But average, what do you think, maybe?
Probably 6 months, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I think Howard, I asked that question to Howard one time, and I think he said 12 weeks. For him, you know, and he's not the average counselor. But he said in his case, he thinks probably 12 weeks is the average. But I'm like Phil. I have some guys I've been working with for years. So timeline is whatever it takes. And I decide that. The end point is I determine. I determine when they're free to go. You don't need to see me anymore. Okay, so what about my success? What about the subject of this? What is the success rate? Raw numbers, out of my 267 men, is only 19% success rate. That's why my first slide says what it said, 19%. Now, I think Dr. Eric told me several years ago, I asked him that question. I said, Dr. Eric, what's the success rate? You know, I've got all these people that I'm counseling, and then they're gone. They just leave or they quit. And some I finish with, but I don't know if it's really success or not. So he told me at that time, he said he'd estimate around 30%. Does that sound right, Pam? You ever heard him say that? His success rate? Yeah. But overall, you know, some take a year, some take a week, some take 2 days. But overall, I think he gave me like that figure, but mine for the sex addiction was only 19%. I thought it would be higher than that, but it wasn't. So what I'd like to do now is take you through actual two case studies of two people that I'm actually still counseling. Mr. Blue Skyscraper from Blue Town, USA. I had a call from my buddy next door, Carol. And she said, I've got a young lady that I'm counseling, and her boyfriend, she just found out her boyfriend is watching porn, and she loves this guy, and she wanted to know, would you work with him? So I told her, yeah, sure. So I contacted him, and we met at McDonald's, somewhere between here and there, Blue Town. And I began to interview him. He was a 32-year-old male. He had met this young lady, and they'd been dating for several months and sort of sniffing around the word married. Hadn't had sex, no sex involved. But they now were starting to talk about marriage. So he thought it may be a good idea to tell her that he's a sex addict. He'd been on porn since he was 10. So he did. Thank the Lord, he told her. He told her that he watched porn a lot. And so that's when she found a counselor and wanted a counselor to help her deal with this. And they came up with it. Well, he's the one who needs help. So we decided we'd both counsel him separately. So I began to counsel this young man, try to understand his problem. So where did I start? Story, right? What's your story? Tell me your story. In the meantime, I told him about the fact that he's got to get in a group. If I'm going to counsel him, he's got to get in a group. And at that particular time, I didn't have any new groups. So I told him I would form a new group just for him. So I put out my feelers, and in about 4 weeks, I had a new group started. So I got him into a group. And all new guys, they first time they'd met, so they're starting a group together. All right, where do we start in a group? Where do I start? Next bullet says Conquer Series. Somebody asked me this morning, what book to use? I don't, at the beginning, I don't. I use the Conquer Series. It is by far the best material anywhere on the market for sexual addiction, porn addiction, or sexual addiction, period. It was created by a senior pastor of a mega church out in Oregon. He had been a sex addict in his past and overcame it and became a pastor. But in his pastorate, his capacity as a pastor, he had all these young men in his church coming to him saying, Pastor, I got this problem. I need help. So he began to work with them and counsel them, and he started looking for a program that he could use. There was nothing. He found some workbooks and some pamphlets and books, but so he created the Conquer Series. He started on it in 2010, and he finished it and published it in 2012. And that's when I found it. I found it in 2012, searching out on the internet. It is a series of 10 videos. Each video is 30 minutes. And it is filled with scripture, so it is spiritual-based. It's based on scripture, but he also uses psychology because he had both degrees. So he uses some psychology, but he also uses a lot of scripture, and he refers everything back to scripture. Fantastic. I use that for every guy that I counsel, every single guy that has sexual problems. That's what I put him on. I have watched it probably over 100 times because a lot of cases what I do is I'll sit down and watch it with the guy in my office, and then he and I will discuss it for 30 minutes. It's 30 minutes long, and we discuss it for 30 minutes. And so I have taken about 100 guys through that way where I sit there and watch it with them. A lot of times I'm watching their face. I'm watching for facial expressions at various points in the video. I picked up on one guy, and I mean, he started tearing up. And I stopped the video and asked him, what's going on? What's going on? And I found out he had a deep, deep, deep problem. But I won't even bring it up here. But anyhow, I use their facial expressions while they're watching it to pick up on places where it may be keys for me. And I began to counsel one-on-one with Mr. Blue, weekly meetings. And, of course, I popped the question, when did you meet Jesus? How did you meet Jesus? And I came to the conclusion, I didn't tell him, but I came to the conclusion, this guy is not saved, and I've been born again. But I didn't tell him, but that was my conclusion. So I began to counsel him as a believer, because that's what he said he was. So we finished Conquer Series, and there's another series out there behind it called Warpath. And Warpath is also excellent. That's the second video series that I use after they go through Conquer Series. I take them through Warpath. And Warpath is based more on the wife, the concerns for the spouse, because guys do not understand the damage they do to their wives. They don't understand it. They take a lackadaisical approach at it, like porn's no big deal. All guys look at it. But the wife doesn't look at it that way. The wife looks at it as, you look at that versus me. What's wrong with me? So it starts the wife doubting herself. Why does he have to look at that stuff? I guess that means I'm not pretty, or I'm not beautiful, or I'm not sexy. So the guys do not understand how it destroys their wife. Destroys their wife. So Warpath is totally focused on the marriage and the relationship and your wife, what you did to your wife. I also began a different tact here because I found out his girlfriend is a Catholic. He's a Southern Baptist. Those two don't go together. It's like mixing ink and water. One of them's going to come out ahead. So her counselor and myself, we agreed we need to work on this issue. Because when they get married, it's going to be a problem. Right now, they don't see it as a problem, but it's going to be. Especially when you have children. Which church are these children going to go to? Protestant or Catholic? So we began to both work on them to help them to understand what's the difference. What's our differences? And I spent several weeks on him, helping him to understand the differences, because he really didn't understand. So we ended up a year, and at that point, finished the year, I've not released him. So his girlfriend, along with her counselor, came up with, they wanted him to take a polygraph test, which turned out to be a great idea. Because I went with him to the polygraph test. And sure enough, the next slide shows new information came forth. I've been working with this guy for a year. And I'm sitting there with the lie detector expert. And she hadn't even put the stuff on him yet. She's just asking him a few questions. She said, have you told your counselor everything? And he sat there, seemed like for an hour, but he sat there for maybe 20 seconds looking at the floor. And he said, no. She said, then you just failed a lie detector test. You don't even need to take it. You better go back and tell your counselor everything. And then after you sit down with your counselor and tell him everything, come back and take the lie detector test, and we'll see if you told him everything. So, something really bad came out. Something beyond my pay grade. I'm not a licensed counselor. So I sent him to a licensed counselor who is a sexual addiction licensed counselor. And I called a counselor and talked to him. I told him the situation. Because it was a law enforcement issue. If the law found out what he was doing, then they could arrest him. And then I would have got involved. I would have had to go testify. So I sent him to an expert. Because he's the one that told me he could go to prison for what he's been doing. So he agreed to take him. But then later he called me back and said, I want you to still work with him also if you would. We both will work with him. I'll work with him on the sexual addiction. You work with him on the spiritual issues because you've been doing a great job. He knows the Bible. He can talk the Bible. You've done a great job. So I want you to keep working with him. So I did. All right, down to revelation occurred. He and I were sitting. He came in one day, and he's sitting, and he has this look on. He looks like a light bulb. And he said, you asked me a long time ago if I'd been born again. I told you yes. I just got born again. So he told me about it. He told me what happened. And sure enough, I believe he was born again right there in his living room floor. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And at that point, that young man became a different young man, a different counselee. He even became different in the group meetings. I noticed a huge difference in him, even in the group. He became more talkative, more authoritative, more willing to participate, and even like be a leader. Because the Holy Spirit's now in him, working through him. So, we completed Warpath. We went back to do Conquer Series again. I continued to do one-on-one counseling with Mr. Blue. And in May, this month, I released him. He's gone 9 months without seeing anything. He got rid of all of his internet access. He got rid of his iPhone. He went to a cell phone, one of those that you can't do anything but call and talk and text. Can't see any pictures. He did everything that I asked him. So 9 months, he said he's free. So last week, he proposed to this young lady that she's still, I think she's released her also. So he proposed to her, and they've set a date to get married in October. So I consider that a success case. I think that young man's going to make it. Why do I think that? Somebody. Yeah, right. He now belongs to God. God's got him. I don't need him. I don't have to worry about him. God's got him. This is something you can read on your own. This is beautiful. This is how beautiful a group works. This is a message from a guy in his group to him. And these guys, part of the group is I require them to talk to each other. They have to talk to each other each week. They become really close friends. They become buddies. They become bosom buddies. Here's a message from one of his buddies in the group to him. I'm not going to go through it here. You can read it on your own. It's really heartwarming to read what this guy told this guy. This is a 69-year-old man that wrote this message to a 32-year-old young man. So this is why a group works. This is how a group works. Okay, next one is Nobody's Sunrise from Nowhere, USA. This one's easy. I got about 5 minutes, but this one's easy. This was a new case referred by the Soul Refiner organization. Soul Refiner, by the way, is the name of the organization that bought the rights to the Conquer series. So if you want to go out and watch the Conquer series, you have to subscribe to Soul Refiner. That's how it appears on the internet. So I interviewed this guy. He's 28 years old, been on porn since high school, spent 3 weeks on his story, popped a question. I was convinced this guy was born again. He was a Christian, a devout Christian, really a great young man. I placed him into the group with Mr. Blue. His assignment was to meet weekly with my group, this group, and begin an intensive study of a book by Dr. Weiss. Dr. Douglas Weiss is known to be the number one sexual addiction expert in the world. He travels all over the world doing classes and doing lectures on sex addiction. I actually went to a three-day course that he taught on leading groups, leading sexual addiction groups. So I paid money out of my pocket and flew to Colorado and spent 3 days and went to his course. Wonderful man. And he put out a book called Clean, C-L-E-A-N. It's a proven plan for men committed to sexual integrity. And it works. So I put this young man on that book, and he and I went through the book together. Not eyeball to eyeball, but he'd read it, and I would read it, and we'd get together. So we went through the book. And the book did it. So I really did not have to meet with him individually. I put him in a group. He's still in the group. And as of last week before last, he was now 2 years free. 2 years free. After that, after 1 year of being free, I awarded him a token, and I awarded him a restaurant gift certificate for $40 so that he and his wife could go out for a meal. So I actually buy these guys a gift certificate out of my own pocket for when they reach a year of purity. We began the group began Warpath, and he went through that with them. And so both of these guys that I've just talked about are still in the group. They don't want to leave. They love it. It's like you hear from a lot of alcoholics. They don't leave AA. They stay in it for years. I had a friend that just died last year. He'd been in AA for 26 years. But he became free from alcohol 25 years ago. But he stayed in AA because he loved it. He loved the relationship of people who were struggling and wanting to help them. So a lot of these guys stay in these sexual addiction groups even after they become free because they want to help other guys. So a lot of them eventually will come to me and say, do you think I could be a leader and lead a group? And I say, sure, I'll start one and I'll let you lead it with me. So anyhow, that's it.